All right, let's turn back to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. And let's read this scripture. This is another case here where Moses is being hesitant and the Lord asks him a question. And we've seen this, these questions the Lord asks to sinners. He never asks for information. He's asking a question to teach us something. Let's read it together. We're just going to read two verses here. Verse 10, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, not from the beginning, not up to now. I'm not eloquent. I'm not a man of words. I'm not a man who can say things how they ought to be said. He said, but I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. Not only am I not eloquent, I have a speech impediment. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue." Now here's what the Lord said. Here's the question. "And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." Now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him. Trust Him to be your righteousness with the Father. Trust Him to be your holiness with the Father. Trust Him to be your wisdom throughout this life. Trust Him to be your redemption and freedom from sin and self and rebellion. Trust Christ. Believe on Christ. That's the message of the book. That's the one message of the book. It's that simple. It's that single. Don't look to the left, don't look to the right, don't look to you, don't look to another. Look to Christ. Believe on Christ. Trust Christ. Now, when the Lord calls a sinner to faith, to believe on Christ, from that day forward, everything that He does with us in this life, in the great, great trials, in the great, great happinesses, in the great times when there's tears being shed, in the times when we're just laughing and having a good time. Whether it's peaceful or it's all trouble, whatever it is, with all the props, with all the furniture on this stage that He set here in our lives as we're going through this world, the one thing He's teaching His child is believe on Christ. That's the message. That's the lesson in everything. If we take away all the what ifs and the if I would have and if he had and they should have and all these secondary causes, we boil it right down. Here's the lesson. If we hadn't got this out of it, we've missed the whole lesson. The lesson He teaches His child is believe on Christ. That's the lesson. What I want you to see today is if we would believe the Lord, we must look away from ourselves to the Lord. If we would believe the Lord, we must look away from ourselves. Our thoughts, our ways, our opinions, our wisdom, our doings, our sinfulnesses, and our righteousnesses. We must look away from ourselves to the Lord alone. If we would believe the Lord. It's the only way we're going to believe Him. The only way. I've titled this, Who Hath Made Man's Mouth? All right, here's the first thing we see. If we look to ourselves, we will not believe the Word of the Lord. It's that simple. If we look to ourselves, we will not believe the Word of the Lord. Will not. There's one hindrance keeping you from believing the Lord. It's you. That's it. There's only one thing keeping me from believing the Lord. When I'm in times of unbelief, it's me. If we look to ourselves, we will not believe the Lord. All right, verse 10. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue. The Lord's calling him to go into Egypt to bring out his people, to be his messenger, his preacher, his prophet. And Moses had exactly what you have, child of God. He had exactly what we have. He had the word of the Lord. That's what he had. He was called. He'd been saved by the Lord. He'd been regenerated, been quickened to life, and given faith to believe the Lord. He had what we had. We have the word of the Lord. The promises the Lord made to Moses, he makes to us that he's called to believe him. Same promises Moses had, we have. The promises he's made to us as he tells us to go forth and bear witness of his name in the cause of promoting his gospel in this life. We have the same promises Moses had. We have these same truths. Christ said back in Exodus 3, I'm just going to give you these things. Christ said to Moses, he said, I've seen the affliction of my people. Christ has seen our affliction. He's seen my affliction. He's seen your affliction. He's seen the affliction of his people. He has a people, and he's seen their affliction. And he said, and I've heard their cry. And he said, and I know their sorrows. And he said, so I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the enemy, those that have brought them into bondage, to bring them up out of that land into a good land, a large land, flowing with milk and honey. That's what our gospel is. Christ has come down, and he's come to where we are to redeem his people, and he's redeemed his people. And now he hears the affliction of his people, and he sends forth the word of his gospel to teach his people, to bring his people out of that bondage they're in, into this good land flowing with milk and honey, the land of his grace. That's what we have that promise. The Lord told Moses, certainly I will be with thee. We have that promise. Everywhere we go, every step we take, in sunshine and rain, in storms and in tranquil times, we have this promise from the Lord. This is what every believer has. He says, certainly I will be with thee. That's what we have. Certainly, he said. Not just maybe, certainly I will be with thee. He told Moses to preach, I am that I am. That's what he said to him to preach. He said, you declare my name. This is my name and my memorial. The one who makes good on all his promises. He said, you tell them me. Preach me. Preach me. Preach me. That's what he was telling him. The I am. Preach me. The Lord's told us, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You want to glory somewhere. You want to talk about somebody. You want to put somebody up on a pedestal. Put him up on a pedestal. Talk about him. Glory in him. Talk about him. And he assured Moses and his people, would hear his voice. And he's told us to go forth. He's told us what he's doing. I'm coming to deliver him. He said, now you go forth and certainly I'll be with you. And he said, you preach me. Don't preach anything else. Preach me. That's what he said. And he said, and I give you this promise. My people's going to hear my voice. They're going to hear. They're going to hearken. He's told us his word won't return void. He's told us his word will not go forth in vanity. It won't just go forth and just not come back to him. He's going to accomplish what he sends it to accomplish. Those that preach the gospel and his servants, you sit in a living room with a family and you get an opportunity to tell them the gospel. This is what the case is. We are a sweet savor unto God. Those that tell the truth about God, we're a sweet savor unto God in them that believe and in them that perish. Both of them. Because we're telling the truth about God. But he says, but my people will hear. They're going to hear by his power. Then we have that promise, brethren. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have these promises. These are the promises God has made to his people. The Lord assured Moses that he would give his people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that he would provide for his people in all temporal things as well. They were going to have to go out to the middle of the wilderness. There was no businesses there. There was no commerce there. There was no way to make a living there. It was just a dry desert, waste, howling wilderness is where God was going to take them to. And when they got out there, God was going to command them to build His tabernacle with gold sockets and silver and brass and ornate tapestry and all these things. And you know where these people were? They were slaves in Egypt. They didn't even own the little old shack they lived in when they went home. They didn't even own the food, that the little bit of rice and beans that they had to eat. They didn't even own any of that. Everything was the belonged to the Egyptians. They had nothing. But the Lord gave them favor in the eyes of the Egyptians, so that the women literally went over to the neighbor's house and they said, we're about to leave here and go out in the middle of the desert. And their women said, well, here, take these gold earrings of mine. Take this gold necklace of mine. Take this silver. Take this brass. You might need some brass. Take all these things. And the Lord had used the Egyptians to teach them how to use all those things. Teach them how to make gold, the gold things He would tell them to make, and the silver things He'd tell them to make, and the tapestries He'd tell them to make. The Lord used the Egyptians to teach them all that stuff. I was talking with Todd Nybert this week, and I was telling about that property we were looking at. And I said, it's such a good deal. I said, I'm almost apprehensive about it because I don't understand how somebody hadn't snatched it up already. It's such a good deal. And Todd said, well, answer that's simple. If he's got it marked for y'all, that's the reason nobody snatched it up. And I thought, well, I guess that's right. You see what I'm saying? He gave you favor. He gave it. And He promised it. Now, we have these promises, brethren. And then the Lord showed Moses three signs. And we saw how they pictured Christ and His gospel and the power He works in through the gospel to make His children believe. And whether He does it to regenerate His children or He does it in judgment against those who won't believe. We saw that pictured in those signs. Now, Moses had all these promises from the Lord, just like we have. And no matter how things appear, no matter how they look, rather than look to ourselves and look to how things appear, always believe the promise of the Lord. Always believe the word of the Lord. Because if we look to ourselves, we won't believe the Lord. We won't. Listen to Moses' objection. Verse 10. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent. Neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And we're not going to be tough on Moses, because we're like Moses, but we're going to learn from Moses, and we're going to learn from what the Lord did for Moses in this. After hearing all those sure promises of the Lord, after hearing everything the Lord said He would do, just like you and I have, we've heard it all. We've heard it. We say we believe it. Well, who was Moses really looking to? He was looking to himself. Moses said, I'm not eloquent, though. I know you've made all these promises, Lord, but I'm not eloquent. I can't. You're sending me to Pharaoh. He's a king. He's got the best poets around him. He's got the best singers around him. He's got the best philosophers around him. He's got the wisest men there can be around him in his courts. And I'm going to go there. I'm going to have to be eloquent to get this man to hear me. And not only that, Lord, but I got a speech impediment. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. When I do have some decent thoughts to say, they come out all stuttering and stammering. Do you see how Moses is looking to himself? The chief cause of not trusting God to have done what He says He has done, to have saved in the manner He says He has saved, and to trust Him to save in the manner He says He will save, and to provide for us in the manner He says He will provide for us, the main cause of not believing Him is we start looking to us. Our experience, our experiences, our wisdom, our thoughts, our ways, our understandings, our sight, what we see around us, we start looking to us. We got to take everything to this book and lay it down at the feet of Christ and look at His Word and be honest with ourselves and say, this is what His Word really said. We may find out that nothing we thought about ourselves and our righteousnesses and our good works and our experiences that everybody wants to always, men always want to talk about that stuff. I got a birthday coming up next month. I'm not going to need that birthday to tell me I'm alive. I know I'm alive. Why do you want to, why? I don't, how many times since we've known each other have I gone back and told y'all stories about when I, the day I was born and what happened in the hospital? I don't guess I've ever even told y'all any of that. I don't, you know I'm alive though, don't you? Why? But when men start wanting to talk about their experiences and hang on to their experiences and say they're going to hang on to them even when it don't match this word, that's when there's a problem. That's when they're manifesting, they're holding on to that. They look into their experiences. That's when there's a real problem. But bring everything here. When are we going to have sufficiency to believe God and follow the Lord? When we see we don't have any sufficiency in ourselves. We didn't have any sufficiency in ourselves to do anything. We're so depraved, and there's no good in us, no good in our flesh. We couldn't give ourselves spiritual life. We weren't sufficient to do that. God did it. God did it. We had no sufficiency to make ourselves believe and repent from our vanity. He had to give us faith and repentance. He did that. We didn't have any sufficiency to continue in faith. We don't have any sufficiency. I don't have any sufficiency to preach. You don't have any sufficiency to talk to anybody you come in contact with about the gospel. We don't have any sufficiency to provide for ourselves. We don't have any sufficiency to provide for one another. We don't. He provides everything. When are we going to see that all our sufficiency is in Christ? When we find out we don't have any sufficiency in ourselves. Somebody will start talking to me and they're telling me what they're planning on doing and how they'd like to do this and what have you. And I start thinking about, well, I don't think I'd do it that way. I don't know if this is going to be the right step to take to do that. I don't know. You know what I ought to be thinking about? Who in the heck are you to be trying to tell anybody how to do something? Have you really done all that good a job so far yourself? Isn't everything that I have so far of the Lord and everything that has been good in my life been of His hand? And if He would have left me to my wisdom, I'd have went straight the other way and done the opposite thing. That's so. So why, when am I going to stop telling somebody and voicing my wisdom and get offended when they don't obey my wisdom and what I tell them? When am I going to stop doing that? When I realize I don't have any wisdom of myself. My wisdom's the Lord. My wisdom's the Lord. Well, I want you to look with me now. This problem Moses was having was pride. That's what it was. Unbelief's pride. Pride and unbelief go right together. That's the problem he was having. The whole time the Lord was giving him these promises and telling him what he was going to do, Moses was thinking about what Moses was going to do. How Moses was going to play a part in this. How Moses was going to bring this to pass. You ever have that happen? Somebody's telling you something, and while they're telling you something, you're thinking your own thoughts in your head. You're really not listening to what they're saying. You're thinking about how you're going to do it, or how it's not going to work out like they're saying, and you're just shooting it. They're saying things, and they're just talking, and we're just sitting there just bam, 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 just shooting everything down as they're saying it, thinking, it's not going to happen that way. Instead of just shutting up and listening, listen. It's pride. When a sinner going to believe the Lord? When's he going to believe? When the Lord makes us see we got nothing good in us, but Christ is all. That's when we'll believe. That's when we'll believe. We'll cast all our care into the hand of the Lord when we see that we cannot care for ourselves, but it's the Lord that's caring for us the whole time. That's when we will. When we're going to be strong enough to know we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us? When we know that He's our only strength, that we don't have any strength. We have no strength. We're utterly incapable of taking our next breath if He doesn't give it. That's right. One time, I read a message that Brother Henry preached, and he's talking about how folks will be talking about their ability to play an instrument. You know, I can play the guitar, and I can do this, and I can do that. And he made a statement. He said, you can't even play the radio if God don't give you the ability to do that. That's right. And this is so in things spiritual and temporal, brethren. You see, he's showing us these things, temporal things. He's providing for us in temporal ways. And the lesson in all of it is to teach us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on Him to enter into God's presence. Believe on Him to present you spotless, holy, without blame, perfect in His presence by what He's done for you. That's what He's teaching us in all these things. And so He's sending us through all these little trials and these little courses and these little rivers we come to and these crossings we come to. And He's doing it to show us now. Now if I leave you to yourself, you're going to die. Well, now I'm showing you, you can't save yourself. Trust me. That's what He's teaching us. All right, here's the second thing. So first we see we can't, if we look to ourselves, though, we won't believe Him. We won't believe Him. Here's the second thing. The Lord's made us like we are so that He gets all the glory rather than us. He made us like we are so that He gets the glory rather than us. Verse 11, and the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord, done it? The Lord made Moses' mouth. He was not eloquent. He was slow of speech. He was slow of tongue. For this reason, the Lord made his mouth that way. Just like if a man's dumb, he can't speak at all. If he's deaf, or he can't hear. If he has sight, or he's blind. The Lord made him so. The Lord made him that way. The Lord could have given Moses eloquence, but He didn't. The Lord, you think of all the Lord had given to Moses. You think about it. He delivered him. Moses was born, come out of his mother's womb helpless, and able to do one thing for himself, just like he was right here at this time when he was about 80 years old, still helpless to do anything for himself. And he came out of his mother's womb that way, and his mother and his father took him down, and they made a little ark out of bulrushes and put him in the river because Pharaoh was, he knew there was coming a deliverer out of Egypt. And Pharaoh wanted to kill all the male babies. And so his mom and daddy took him down and put him in the river and pushed him out in the river and let him go. You know what they did? They turned him over to God. Said, Lord, save him. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord gave him salvation. The Lord sent a woman down, and she saw him, and she brought him out of the river. And there was old dirty Pharaoh's daughter, done got dirty, and done got herself all stained and everything, and she had to go down there to the river to take a bath. God ordered her getting dirty, so she'd have to go down there and take a bath. And there was Moses. And she picked Moses up, took him home, and she said, I want to adopt this boy. And she took him to her house. And God gave Moses the finest, best education a man could get in Pharaoh's own house. He gave him that. And then Moses was chomping at the bit to be a preacher, and he thought he was going to deliver everybody out. So he went up and started telling everybody what he thought they ought to do between these two fellas. And they turned around and said, are you going to kill us like you killed that man yesterday? And Moses realized, everybody knows I killed a man. Moses killed a man. And Moses took off out of there. And the Lord delivered him out. And the Lord gave him a father-in-law with some sheep. And there's Moses out in the back of the desert tending these sheep. He's right where he is because God gave him everything he gave him, put him right there where he was. This is Christ that's talking to him. That's right. So he could have given him a mouth. He could have given him a mouth of the learned to speak this eloquent stuff and to go in there and just bedazzle Pharaoh with all his knowledge and his wisdom. But he didn't. Why didn't he? He said in Zechariah 4:6, this is the word of the Lord, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You see, that's how he's going to get the glory. Look over here at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look over there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now Paul was a man that had some wisdom, and he had some eloquence. And look, and the Lord took Paul up to the third heavens and showed him things that he said, it's not lawful for me to even say what I've seen. And when the Lord gave him all of that He gave him all of that wisdom in the inner man, in what he saw and what he heard. But now, when he did that, gave him all that wisdom in the inner man to believe Christ, to see Christ, you know what he also did? He gave something to him in his outer man, in his flesh. He gave him a thorn. He gave him a thorn. He brought him down. He gave him an impediment of some kind in his flesh. Why did he do that? Look at verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He said it twice. He said, this is why it came to me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I sought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. But the Lord said this in verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now look at this statement. For my strength, the Lord's strength, is made perfect. It's made known. It's made manifest. It's shown to be all of His strength in weakness, in our weakness, in our total inability. And he says, therefore, I'm going to glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm going to take pleasure in infirmities. That's our bodily problems. In reproaches, when people are gnashing on me. In necessities, things I don't have. Why don't you have? Why aren't you a millionaire? Why are you barely getting by, barely able to pay your bills? Why are we here in the middle of this nation, and nobody notices who we are, where we are, anything? We're unnoticed to anybody. Why? I'm going to glory in these necessities. You know why? Keep reading. Look there, verse 10. In persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. Here's why. Because when I'm weak, then I am strong. Do you see why? Because God's our strength. Christ is our strength. And when we don't have any strength, that's when Christ is our strength. What if Moses had been eloquent in speech? What if you could justify yourself? What if you could give yourself spiritual life by your will? What if you could read one of these How to Be Born Again books and follow their ABCD and really and truly give yourself spiritual life? What if you could sanctify yourself, make yourself holy, holy and spotless and perfect within? What if you could provide everything for yourself in this life so that you didn't even have to worry whether or not you were going to have enough today? What if you could resurrect yourself from the dead? What if there was just one little bitty work that you could do to add to your salvation? Just one little thing. You know what we'd do? We'd glory in ourselves. And we wouldn't need God. We wouldn't need Christ. We wouldn't need His salvation. And we wouldn't bow to Him. We got to be made to see that we don't have anything. We're sinners. We're depraved. In our flesh dwells no good thing. But when we find that out and understand how ruined and how helpless and how hopeless our situation is if left to ourselves, that's when God makes you to see. But Christ is all. Christ is all your strength. That's why I preach about sin. That's why I keep talking to you about sin. I want you to see what you are. You're a puddle of puke. Preacher, don't. That offends me. I hope it offends you. I hope it makes you see what you are. That's what we are, brethren. Dung. That's what we are. Anything short of the glory of God is utter abomination to a holy God. That's what we are. That's our thoughts. That's our ways. That's our wisdom. That's everything we touch. That's everything we do. That's everything we speak. But Christ is all wisdom, all holiness, all righteousness, all perfection. Christ is all. If we have Him, it doesn't matter what we are. We have all. We have all. The Lord didn't choose foolish, weak, nothing sinners and send them forth to preach His gospel by just looking out and saying, let me see if I can find somebody that's nothing and nobody. I found one. I'll pick him. I'll use him. No, the Lord made them nothing. The Lord made them nothing. He makes them nothing by making them see what they are. He makes them nothing by not giving them great things, not giving them eloquence, not giving them the greatest education, not giving them these things that the world's going to be impressed with. He makes them nothing on purpose. And He does it for this reason, that no flesh shall glory in His presence. Now you get this now. In Acts 3, I showed you this the other night, but in Acts 3, when He brings somebody down, when He brings somebody down, and He truly brings them down to see what they are, that's when a man will go forth and he will speak the words of Christ and quit thinking he's so wise that he can speak his own words. That's when he'll start looking into this book and taking him a passage of Scripture and say, let's see what God says right here. Because what I say don't really matter. And what I think don't matter at all. It's not going to help you. What God says will, though. When a man's been made to see he's nothing, that's when he'll change his whole approach to bearing witness of God. He'll quit trying to craft words and quit trying to use his own words, and he'll use God's words. He'll speak God's words when his pride's been busted and he's been brought to nothing. And he did that, he said, in 1 Corinthians 1, and he said that no flesh, no man, nothing of us shall be able to glory in His presence. In His presence. In His presence. Peter thought he had some to glory in. Oh, Lord, they might forsake you. I won't forsake you. Oh, I'm going to stand by you. I'm going to be there with you to the end. Even when they came out of the Garden of Gethsemane, I'm persuaded he pulled that sword and cut off that soldier's ear to prove it to the Lord. And he did what he shouldn't have done. That wasn't what... The Lord was teaching him, believe me, Peter. I don't need you brandishing your weapons. Just believe me. That's what he's for teaching him. And so Peter forsook him just like he said he would, denied him. And then the Lord came back to him after he done busted all his pride and brought him down. He comes back to him then. Now he says, now, do you love me, Peter? And Peter says, you know I do, Lord. He says, now go forth and feed my sheep. So here's Peter now. Christ is risen. He's poured out His Spirit. Here's Peter. He's not glorying in himself anymore. He stands up there in Acts 3 and he preaches. And he says there, let me get over there. Acts 3:19. He stood up there and he preached Christ to them. And look at this. Look how boldly he preached Christ to them. Look at verse 14. He said, you denied the Holy One and the Just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Him, by Christ, hath given this man this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, I will that you did it through ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all His prophets that Christ should suffer, He so fulfilled them all. You see, he just standing up preaching Christ. That's all he's preaching. Now watch this, what he says. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When are you going to repent and be converted? And your sins, and it be made known to you, your sins are blotted out. When the times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. Now you get that. The Lord takes a man, he brings him down to nothing, he makes him a nobody to himself and to everybody else, and he sends him forth so that now that man will stand up like Peter, and all he'll do is declare the glory of Christ Jesus, the great I Am. And he declares Him before everybody. And as he does that, there's no glorying in the flesh. And that's the kind of message that Christ has. He's called that man. He's brought him down. He's taught him his nothingness. He's given him the words to speak. He's sent him forth. He's given him his audience. And he stands up and he says what Christ has done. And when he does, Christ comes forth in His presence through that word into the hearts of His people. And that's the only kind of message, the only kind of preaching that Christ has called and sent and produced, where Christ will make His presence known. And the reason that that's the only kind of preaching He'll make His presence known in is He's not going to make His presence known where there's men glorying in their flesh. He makes his preachers nobody so that no man glories in our flesh in his presence when he comes forth in his presence into his people. That's why we have to be brought down. Verse 12. Let's go back to our text and we'll finish up. Exodus 4:12. Now therefore go, and I'll be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Back in chapter 3, Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And the Lord said, certainly I'll be with thee. Now here Moses says, but I can't speak. And the Lord says, I'll be with your mouth. He's just so gracious and just keeps on long-suffering. True eloquence, it's not man's wisdom. It's in these 2- and 3-syllable words in the Scriptures right here that declare Christ is all. Christ is righteousness. And our flesh is grass. So first, look away from ourselves to the Lord or we won't believe. Secondly, remember the Lord made you weak so that Christ our prophet gets all the glory. That's why he made us the way he did. Here's the third thing. We anger the Lord by not submitting to him. Verse 13, and he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. That sounded good, didn't it? Oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee. Oh, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. How many times do we do stuff like this? Oh, Lord, I want your will to be done. I want your will to be done. Lord, you open up this door by your will and you make it known to us and you show us and you lead us. And the door sitting there wide open. The door sitting there flung wide open. I mean, it's open. You know what Moses' problem was? It wasn't that he wanted the Lord's will to be done. The Lord was making his will be done. He was sending whom he would send. He was sending Moses. He said, I'm sending you, Moses. What Moses wanted was to stay out there in that peaceful green pasture with his father-in-law's sheep, where he could just sit out there and sing and look at the sun and tend those sheep, and it was pleasant. But now he's fixing to have to take up the cross. He's fixing to have to go into the lion's den. He's fixing to have to go in there where all hell's fixing to rage on him. And he's fixing to have to go in there and declare the name of God. And it ain't going to be pleasant. There's not going to be anything about it pleasant. And the fact of the matter is, Moses just didn't want to go. And that's usually what's wrong with us, too. Go to Isaiah 50. The Lord calls us to bear his cross. He calls us to bear his cross. I preached on this Thursday night. If you get a chance, go back and listen to the message. But this is what the Lord said he did. Lord Jesus Christ, this is him speaking in Isaiah 50. And he said, this is what I did. He said, verse 5, the Lord God hath opened mine ear. He said, the Lord God bore my ear. He bore my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. From eternity, he looked to that day that he was going to come into this earth and go to that cross. He knew it from the beginning, but he didn't turn away back. He came. In verse 6, he said, I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. He bore the cross. He bore the sin of his people. He bore the justice of God in the place of his people. He put away sin by sacrificing himself. He put away sin by suffering himself. He did so as the servant, as the man in place of his people, depending entirely upon his Father while he did it. That's what he's calling Moses to do. That's what he's calling us to do. Follow him. Follow him. Verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. I know I shall not be ashamed. Even when it didn't look like the Lord God would help him, he still trusted the word of his Father. That's what he's calling us to do. Verse 8. He's near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who's mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who's he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. He trusted the Father's word that the Father said to him, when you're bearing the sin of my people and I've satisfied my justice, I will justify you. I will justify you. I will raise you from the dead before this world and declare that I'm satisfied and he's justified and I've justified all my people in him. And Lord Jesus Christ trusted His Father enough to go to that cross and be made the sin of His people and suffer wrath and separation from God and all hell be thrust upon Him and suffer that in His body on that tree because He trusted, I'm justified by my Father, and who's He that's going to be able to condemn me? And when He gives us a heart of faith to rely entirely upon Christ Jesus, we stand there and we say, He's near that justified me. He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. Who's going to condemn me? Who's going to separate me from the love of Christ? Who is He? Let Him come forth. Let him bring His weapons of war. And that's what He's calling us to do. He's calling us to go forth. So you see why the Lord was angry with Moses? Do you see why He was angry with Moses? He don't call us to do anything but what He's already done. And He shows us by what He's done that He's faithful. He's God and He's faithful. And He shows us by what God the Father did with Him and what He did toward God the Father that we can trust God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, our Lord Jesus Christ, to do right by us because He's faithful. So when we keep on making up all our excuses and our, oh Lord, I pray Thou wilt send somebody else, when in truth we just don't want to go, you see why He gets angry? It angers the Lord. We're His children, but doesn't it anger you when you've taught your children over and over and over? We got a saying in our house, first time. When you hear the word first time, that means you better get to it. Because that first time's the last time. You hear first time, that means, well, the Lord calls us to do what He's called us to do. And when we hear His word speak, it means first time. But He's long-suffering. Moses said three or four rebuttals about this over and over and over. But finally, the fourth time, His anger was kindled. That happens to us, doesn't it, mothers and fathers? We say first time. And then, why? Why do we get offended? Well, ours is full of sin. The reason we get offended, because we just want somebody to do what we told them to do. But really and truly, what we're offended about is after everything I've done for you, after everything that I have done, I'm breaking my back for you. I'm pouring out my life for you. You think I want to get up every day before the sun comes up and go out in the cold and go to this place and go to work and work my fingers to the bone all day and come home when the sun's down after dark and walk into a house with hell going on in the house and kids running around talking about what I want when you've been sitting on your lazy butt all day long and ought to be out having a job? And I tell you to do something and you won't do it after what I've done for you? That's why the Lord's angry. After what the Lord had done for His people. And we're not going to do what He says do and trust that He's going to do right by us and provide everything for us. All right, let's go down now. I'm going to skip over some stuff here. Let's go to the last thing. It ought to give us more reason to trust the Lord the first time when we see that He even overrules our rebellion to accomplish His eternal purpose. When we look into this word and we see that even when one of His people rebelled, He still, even that rebellion was a part of His bringing to pass what He would have brought to pass to glorify His name. You see, the Lord already knew He was going to send Aaron with Moses. This wasn't something He just come up with secondhand because Moses wouldn't cooperate. He knew Moses was going to have his little trouble. And He knew what Moses was going to do. He knows the end from the beginning. But part of that whole purpose of His grace was He was going to send Aaron with Him. Because He was going to glorify Himself in who Aaron pictured. Now let's read verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And He said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he'll be glad in his heart. Right then, here comes Aaron. He's coming to meet him. That wasn't by accident. That wasn't by accident. All this is taking place according to the purpose of God. And so he says, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? Who's that picture? Christ is our kinsman redeemer. He's the elder brother of all those God elected and gave to him. He's our high priest, just like Aaron was made a high priest. The one who made atonement for us, just like Aaron would be the one to go in and make atonement. You see, he brought this one in to glorify his name. He said, I know that he can speak well. Isaiah 50, Christ said, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I might know how to speak a word in season to them that are weary. He knows how to speak. And Aaron being able to speak well glorifies Christ, who he's the one who can speak well. He cometh forth to meet thee. He's coming forth. I can picture Aaron just coming up over those hills out there, just all glad, singing, happy. He's coming to see Moses. See Christ's willingness to come to where we are and to help his children, to deliver his children. He said, and when he seeth thee, he'll be glad in his heart. Christ saw his brethren from eternity, and he came and served for them, and he was glad in his heart. Moses wasn't glad. He was trying to make excuses. Christ came and served gladly. So when we're called, let's go serve gladly. Look at verse 15. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. Now that's what the Lord promised Moses in the beginning. He said, I'm going to put words in your mouth, Moses. Remember, Moses pictures the law too. The law and the prophets put words in Christ's mouth. He said, I delight to do thy law, O my God. He came forth to fulfill it, to do the will of it. Look at verse 15. I'll be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do, and he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. That's what Christ was calling Moses to do the whole time. The Lord was saying, I'm calling you, Moses, to be my spokesman unto the people. Now, Aaron's going to be that mouthpiece. And he says, and now, Moses, I'm going to make you a mediator between me and Aaron, like as I'm the mediator between God and my people. You see, Christ was standing there as the mediator between God the Father and Moses. And he said, I'm going to put the words in your mouth, Moses. You're going to go speak them. And Moses was too scared to do it. He said, okay then. He said, I'm going to use you as an illustration to teach you what I would have done for you if you had just listened to me. And he said, all right, Moses, you're going to be the mediator now. I'm going to speak to you, and you're going to speak it to Aaron. And Aaron's going to be a mouth to you, and you're going to be as God to Aaron. And he said, and he's showing Moses, this is what I was going to do for you, Moses. I'm God to you, and I'm going to give you the words to speak, and you're going to go forth and speak them. And Moses forfeited that because he wouldn't believe God. And so he said, all right then, I'll give it to Aaron. And so Aaron did it. So, Moses was without excuse. And we're without excuse in our rebellion. But you see how the Lord still overrules it to bring glory to his name. He still brought Aaron forth just like he intended from the beginning and used him to show forth his glory in the whole thing. Now, that ought not make us say, well, I'll just be rebellious then because God's going to overrule it and bring good out of it and glorify his name in it. That ought to make us say, no, I want to obey him from the beginning, from the outset. Aaron, it caused some trouble, you know. Aaron mocked and bashed Moses badly when he married the Ethiopian woman. And then it was Aaron who turned around and had him making a golden calf while Moses was up getting the word from the Lord. So you see, we get some pain from not listening to the Lord. Even though the Lord overrules it and brings glory to his name, it still causes us trouble. And it did. All right, now let's put ourselves in Moses' shoes. In Moses' shoes. We've got this promise directly from God that God will provide. So there's absolutely no excuse for not obeying the Lord. We give our reasons for not going forth, for doing the various things which God's clearly taught us in the Scriptures that we're to do. Things revealed, things we can't plead ignorance on. And we act humble and we say, oh, I'm not sure if it's the Lord's will for me to do this. That wasn't what Moses' problem was. Moses just didn't want to do it. That's normally what our problem is. So remember these points. If we look to ourselves, we won't believe the Lord. Moses said, I'm not eloquent. The power is not of us, brethren, it's of God. Secondly, the Lord made our mouth. He gives to us and He withholds from us so that He gets all the glory, so that the strength is His. If He wanted us to have more, He could give it. This way, He brings more glory to His name. Thirdly, we anger the Lord, and we suffer much by not simply believing Him and going forth, and we end up suffering in the long run like Moses did. Fourthly, but the Lord even overrules our rebellion and brings glory to His name. He's such a patient, gracious, good, wise God. Why don't we feel just plumb stupid for not just taking Him at His word and believing Him? Well, believe Him, serve Him. He always makes good on His word. Amen.